Good morning, Joan, and welcome back.
You know, on one of the most beautiful days, I tell people when they ask me, when should we come to Rome, I often suggest September. Kids, families are back home, and there are fewer tourists, even though there's still always a lot. But September and October, the Ottobrate Romane,
that's right.
The Roman October days, the clarity of the air, the beautiful, beautiful temperature. So, folks, if you're thinking of coming to the Eternal City, I might suggest this month, this time of the year. But
and activity has been picking up here in the Vatican the holidays.
The Holy Father, he had a very hectic visit, very event-filled visit to Germany, as I know our listeners do know from television and radio coverage. He was in Germany from the 22nd through the 25th. Of September. And so he came back, obviously, to Castel Gandolfo, will be resting there until his next adventure, his next big foreign trip was also, that was revealed this week. And
that'll be
to Benin in November, 3 days, a long weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 18th, 19th, and 20th, which, if I'm not mistaken, is his second.
It's his second trip to Africa.
2009,
he went to Angola.
And Cameroon.
Yeah. He's actually going to Benin to present the apostolic exhortation that was produced after the Synod of Africa 2 years ago.
And so that'll be a nice trip. But the papal events, getting around to activity, the papal events were somewhat minimal this week. But there were other interesting events in the Vatican. And I'd actually like to point to two of them before going to the Wednesday audience, because I think our listeners know that after a trip, usually whether it's a day-long trip or out of the country, the Pope talks about that trip, how he sees the trip, how he judged it, and so forth. He talks about it at the first general audience after the trip. But so I'll go to that in a minute, because it's very interesting, obviously, to see the trip through his eyes. But Tuesday there was an event where Archbishop Becciu, who's the kind of a long title here, substitute for general affairs of the Secretariat of State. And he addressed an assembly and a group of people at the Italian embassy to the Holy See. A lot of people kind of, when they hear Italian embassy to the Holy See, isn't the Holy See in Italy? Well, not really. It's Vatican City State. It's an independent state. But this was an event that marked the 150th anniversary of the unification of Italy. And, of course, he spoke about the Pope's message for the anniversary to President Napolitano of Italy, and also the Pope had presided at a prayer service at the Basilica of St. Mary Major, and the Archbishop spoke of the church and state relationship, and in particular the Lateran Pacts of 1929, which we've said many times even on this show, that this was an agreement between Italy and the Catholic Church, which, among other things, did create the independent Vatican City State. So,
it established the ties, the legislation between the two states.
Exactly.
And it still holds today. And maybe a lot of listeners don't know that throughout this year, all Italians are celebrating this 150th year from unification.
Well, you know what's most interesting about this feast day, and it was to Italians themselves, this was the first time that they were celebrating this unification. If it occurred 150 years ago, how come they didn't celebrate 149 other times, you know? But it was like, all of a sudden, out of the blue, March 17th of
year
marked the actual feast day, and then many events in the 9 months.
Many events, up
into the end of this year. And several cars came out. I don't know if you saw them, with the red, white, and green stripes on the side, and elongated stripes like the Italian flag. And I've also seen motorcycle helmets that are white with their logo, if you will, being the red, white, and green Italian flag. So many, many ways of of celebrating that anniversary, and speeches and so forth. And we should talk about two other feast days that kind of occurred.
There's one very important one, isn't there?
I would say so. that occurred this week. And Thursday, the 29th of September, of course, the Feast of the Archangels Michael, Raphael, and Gabriel. And they are the patrons of both Vatican Radio, this year is celebrating its 80th anniversary. And there was Mass in the Lourdes Grotto in the Vatican Gardens, celebrated by Cardinal Secretary of State Tarcisio Bertone for the Vatican Radio. A few people did not go, but otherwise the studio that day, studios and halls of Vatican Radio, at least in the morning, were very quiet. And then that very same day, the archangels are also the patron protectors of the Gendarme Corps of Vatican City State. So 5:30 to 6:30 in the evening, there was a little celebration in the lovely piazza that is in front of the governorate, the building that houses the offices that administer Vatican City State. But, you know, it's interesting. I don't know if our listeners know, but I'm going to presume you've met the daughter of Marconi.
Absolutely.
Who has,
she's quite a household name here, isn't she?
She is a household name. I'm not sure anyone, unless it would be Wikipedia, might know her age. Well, and we mentioned Marconi because we mentioned the radio, and he founded Vatican Radio in 1931. But the fascinating thing, I didn't even believe this the first time I met her. Her name is Elettra.
That's right.
So, and it's kind of like, well, why not, you know? So
but
has wonderful stories to tell and is a...
She does.
A very interesting and colorful character in her own right.
Well, many of Vatican Radio's programs have interviews with Elettra Marconi,
sure,
speaking about her father.
Well, you know what? I should have looked up, because I remember in the early days of the Vatican getting into the world of the Internet, when everybody was jumping on this bandwagon of something called the World Wide Web, and the Vatican looking, obviously, creating its own web pages and then whole website, which we have today. And the first three servers, I remember reading this or being told this in a press conference, introducing the Vatican's Internet office. The first three servers were named Raphael, Michael, and Gabriel.
Oh, lovely.
So the same thing. We're talking about transmission of data and announcement and so forth, and so communications, if you will. So, speaking of communications, the Pope communicated to a wonderful public in audience, if you will, in St. Peter's Square on Wednesday, how he saw his trip to Germany. And I have to tell you, I did hear from a very impeccable source whom I would never question. The Holy Father was very pleased with his trip. He was much more relaxed and very visibly happy on the plane coming back from Germany than even on the plane going. Of course, he was excited to go to his homeland, but there were many, many concerns. Obviously, the papers there and authorities were talking about protests, and there would be members of parliament, huge numbers, that were going to walk out and boycott the Holy Father. And both of those things happened, but in smaller numbers. And I was told that what delighted the Holy Father about his extraordinary speech to the Bundestag, to the parliament, was the fact that afterwards, one or two people said to him, but they said to his advisors, parliamentarians, who heard the speech, they said they're going to make sure that those members of parliament who did boycott the speech would get copies of it. They said they have to have this, you know, in their hands. And it has to be a speech, well, in this case, geared to the foundations of parliamentary law and the foundations that should be behind any government structure that looks out for the good and the welfare of man. And there were a couple words woven in there which were also part of the bigger tapestry of his entire trip, and that is to say about how we need God. But he spoke so often of the motto of the trip, where there is God, there is the future. And he described the trip himself. He began at his audience as a great feast of the faith, during which he had seen how it is God who gives our lives their deepest meaning and their true fullness. And then, of course, what the Pope did, he relived each stage. He always does this. Each stage of his journey, beginning with his visit to Berlin, and where he spoke to the parliament and expounded, in his words, on the foundations of law and the rule of law. That is, the measure for all laws inscribed by the Creator in the very heart of his creation. The Pope talked about meeting members of the German Jewish community, and need we say anything more other than he and they remembering the Holocaust, remembering Second World War and what happened to the Jewish people, and never again anything like that. And the Pope also met, obviously, with Muslims. He met with Christians. We'll talk about that in a second. He met with Muslims, and I learned something very interesting from this trip. There are more Muslims than there are Christians in Berlin.
I didn't know that either.
That floored me. Absolutely floored me. Maybe it shouldn't have floored me, but it was just something I guess I took it for
granted.
Actually,
the Nunciature in Berlin is actually in the Muslim quarter. Did you know that?
Oh, for heaven's sake. See, I did not know that. So we have to be grateful for the Holy Father taking this trip so we can learn all these things. And the Pope talked about the going to the cradle of the Protestant Reformation and meeting there, obviously, with the German Evangelical Church in the heart of where Martin Luther, obviously, lived and protested the church, and his followers were called Lutherans.
That's
and
right.
Protestants, those who protest and so forth. And the Pope spoke of the Vespers at the Marian Shrine, located on, as he called it, a little strip of land that has remained thoroughly Catholic. He spoke of, you know what? He did mention his encounter with the one remaining priest who survived the concentration camp at Dachau. And then the Pope highlighted, very visibly moved also, his meeting with victims of sex abuse, because he did have a meeting. And he got very enthusiastic when he talked about the vigil with young people before he left Germany on Sunday, and also his meeting with seminarians, which was like practically all off the cuff. That was the Pope's summary of his trip. He was obviously pleased.
Absolutely.
And I know he penned those words himself in the quiet and calm and beauty of Castel Gandolfo.
Thank you very much, Joan.